few days ago, Winston sent me some pictures of Theo's facial expressions while he was watching the services at Beach Hill by way of Zoom. And it was delightful to see the joy in his face and his smiling. He may have been laughing at me. I can't be sure about that. But it was really uplifting to see those pictures. And I thought of that tonight when Winston led those two songs that we just sang together. I want to present tonight the third in a brief series of lessons concerning Christian character based upon Paul's first letter to Timothy. In chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul said the end of the charge is love. The end of the charge is love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. And it's this statement that was the keynote for this series in the beginning and continues to be through tonight. It was the verse that stimulated my interest in exploring this matter of Christian character, because that's certainly what Paul is referring to here when he says the goal of this instruction, the purpose of this command is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Now, Paul had just given a charge to Timothy about something that he's to tell certain people that are teaching a different doctrine. He's to tell them not to do that, that this is not helpful to the church. It's quite to the contrary. It's very harmful to the church. So he has that charge, that commandment to tell those people not to teach a different doctrine. And this he will do in representing Paul, who represents Christ in this matter. But when Paul says in verse 5 that the end of the charge, the goal of the charge or commandment is love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith in vain, Paul certainly does not mean by that that by obeying the commandment to tell these people to stop teaching a different doctrine, that will automatically cause Christians to have love out of a pure heart and good conscience, faith, and faith. The teaching that they're doing does not serve the purpose of producing Christian character. And Timothy's responsibility in this will help to serve the purpose of good teaching that does lead to the development and nurturing of Christian character. The word commandment or charge is in the singular. And this word and similar words often are used in a comprehensive sense. It doesn't mean a single commandment, like we have 10 commandments. Each one is a commandment. But in the New Testament, it is a word that often means all the teaching, all the authorized teaching of Christ and his apostles guided by the Holy Spirit. And it is that teaching to which Paul directs attention at the end of this paragraph in verses 10 and 11, the sound doctrine that is according to the glorious gospel. And it is that teaching, that which is the authorized teaching, that will lead to Christian character. Now, we emphasize that in the first lesson in this series, a brief lesson, but then we expanded upon it in the second lesson. And tonight, I want to deliver a third lesson that goes on to look more fully at this idea of this Christian character that is produced. Paul here speaks of it as love, that this sums up what the Christian character is. Well, God is love, and we, as his children, are to be imitators of him in walking in love, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And so that word comprehends all that is a part of true Christian character. It is the love of God, the love that comes from God. We love because he first loved us. And it is this love that we find expressed in the gospel. And all the teaching of the gospel directs us toward this divine love as it is to be manifested in every way. Here Paul speaks of it as coming out of a pure heart and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. The minister of the word, anyone who has responsibility in teaching the word of the gospel, should represent this Christian character both in himself and in what he teaches. And thus Paul, in speaking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, passage we cited in the beginning of this series speaks to Timothy about his responsibility as one who is to be nourished in this teaching, in this good doctrine, and in the words of the faith. And then he refers to his example when he says in verse 12, "Let no man despise your youth, but be you an example to those who believe in word and manner of life, in love and faith and purity." And then in verse 16, "Take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you shall save both yourself and them that hear you." You mean that it is that important? Oh, yes, it is that important. How people hear God's word will determine whether or not they know the full benefit of God's saving work in their life. And that is a work in producing the character that God wants in his people. So this true teaching then will serve to produce these results that God has in mind. And let's look at it another way by studying this letter together. If you read 1 Timothy as a Christian, not as a preacher, and not as an elder or a deacon, but you read it as a Christian, which elders and deacons and preachers are supposed to be, but any member of the church, you read it as a Christian. You can read it asking this question: if this word of God is meant to produce in me love out of a pure heart, good conscience, and faith unfeigned, what is it that I am supposed to love if I have this Christian character? Well, the answers ought to come rather quick. I ought to love God and Christ and the gospel of salvation. I ought to love the truth. I ought to love God's work of salvation, the cause of salvation in this world. I ought to love the church. I ought to love all people as God loves all people. And this letter gives us all of those answers. These are expressive of the love that Paul is talking about that is true Christian character. And how is it that we arrive at this love? But by the influence of the gospel in our hearts. It cannot come any other way. Another question we might ask in reading this letter as a Christian is, if I have this true Christian character, love out of a pure heart and good conscience and faith and fame, what are the things that I will care about in life? Now, human beings care about many things naturally. There is a natural love by which people care about their own, their families. And therefore, it's unnatural for a person not to have the love that he ought to have for his spouse and for his children and for close friends and others. But Christians have a character that goes beyond that. It's a character that is determined and shaped by the influence of the gospel. And so in reading this letter as a Christian, I could ask the question, what does Paul cause me to see about the things that I ought to care about if I have true Christian character? Well, one of the first things that comes to mind in answering that question would be God's work of salvation. Paul gives considerable emphasis to this work of salvation in 1 Timothy. God would have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Chapter 2, verse 4. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Chapter 2 and verse 6. God would have all men be saved. Christ gave himself a ransom for all. That follows just a few verses upon a passage in which Paul was expressing his thanks that God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, that Christ gave himself a ransom for all. Because Paul was giving thanks that included himself. That the grace of the Lord abounded exceedingly toward him as Saul of Tarsus, the blasphemer, persecutor, the harmful man. We gave attention to that in the second lesson in this series. I call attention again to it tonight because the apostle refers to it not only here, but often in his letters. And there's a reference to it in Paul's speech in the book of Acts, found in Acts, the 22nd chapter. And you think about something that we mentioned this morning about the burden of sin and guilt. Paul knew all about that, didn't he? He never forgot what he had done in fighting against God's work of salvation through Jesus Christ. And no doubt he certainly would have had regret about the things he did, his ignorance and unbelief, very harmful things. But something else had entered into the mind and the heart of Paul, and it began to shape in him this true Christian character. Because the grace of the Lord abounded exceedingly, and Paul's response to that was faith and love, as he tells you there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. And it's that influence that brought into his mind the joy of salvation, gave him release from the burden of bearing that guilt and living in the despondency of an overpowering regret. So if we care about God's work of salvation, then we care about the fact that there is such forgiveness, not only for ourselves, but for others, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we're thankful for that personally, then we certainly want our brothers and sisters to be thankful for it too. And we want to encourage them to know the joy of this salvation. If they have repented of their sins, turned their life toward God, then we certainly would not want to be a part of trying to bring a burden back upon them again that God released from them, that God took away. And one of the great stories of the New Testament, life stories in the New Testament, is how the early church received the Apostle Paul. Though once persecuted and hurt by him, they received him as one forgiven of God, whose guilt had been washed away when he was baptized into Christ, and they fully received him as a brother in the Lord. So we will care about such things if we have true Christian character. That's how we'll view that. The world may view it in a different way. Often the world can be unforgiving, implacable, and remembering wrongs that have been done even when a person has changed his or her life. But it must not be so among us. And we'll care about God's work of salvation, therefore, not just in contributing monetarily to help support missionaries in the local work of teaching and preaching. We'll care about it personally, involving ourselves to encourage the God's work of salvation in our brothers and sisters. Because God's work of saving does not end at baptism. It continues in our own lives, and it continues in the lives of our brothers and sisters. And we want to serve and cooperate with that good work for our own benefit and for the benefit of all. Notice the order in which Paul refers to this matter in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Many have wondered about that. Don't you come to the knowledge of the truth first and then you're saved and responding to the truth? Well, sure, you have to be taught, you have to learn the gospel and respond to it, but there is much knowledge of the truth that comes in living the Christian life and continuing to be nurtured by the truths of the gospel so that we, as Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling as Christians, responding to the truths of the gospel, Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. And so it is also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in referring to the blessings that God has given us, they are to be received by them that believe and know the truth. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Notice again the order there. Here's the belief, that is the faith by which one turns to God through Christ and finds salvation. But then there's the knowledge of the truth in which one grows as a child of God, able to resist what is false, but also to rejoice in God's blessings that are sanctified by the word of God and prayer, as Paul goes on to say in verse 5. So this is one of the things we would care about, isn't it? We would care about God's work of salvation if we have true Christian character. So that when we read in chapter 4 and verse 16 that the minister of the word is doing something that has a bearing upon whether or not he will be saved and the people who hear him will be saved, We're impressed with the seriousness of that. We want to be attentive to the preaching and teaching of God's word. And we want to be where that's going on, and we want our children to be present when that's going on. Because this is God's word being presented to us. And how we respond to that will be decisive about whether or not God's work of salvation will be at work in our lives. If we have true Christian character, as I read 1 Timothy, then it seems to me, too, that another thing we would care about if we have the character that's shaped by the gospel is that we would care about God's design for the church. And that's written all through this letter. God has a way in which he has shaped his household. His house, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, as he calls it in chapter 3 and verse 15. And that means that in the local church, there is the oversight of an eldership, and there are deacons that serve in the congregation, the work of the Lord. And there are teachers who are teaching God's word, and there are families and individuals that are involved in this, and all of it is assisting in and serving God's work of salvation. But God had a plan for the church, and he gave that plan long ago in the beginning of Christianity. And when we work our way through the book of Acts and then through the epistles and come out at these later epistles, New Testament, that plan's still there. Elders and deacons and teachers and preachers, families and individuals, all serving in the work of the teaching and the living, conforming to the word of God. And so we would care about that. And we would do nothing to harm that or to detract from it. Nothing that would weaken it. We would do everything in our power to strengthen it, to support it, and to encourage its effectiveness, both in prayers and in what we say about it, and those who have these responsibilities. That is a mark of true Christian character, because it is a sign of the influence of gospel teaching in the heart of a member of the church who has respect for God's design for the church. What is something else that we would care about if we have true Christian character? Let me add one more thing. We would care about God's plan for the life of a Christian, any Christian. And here I want to just notice one thing that Paul brings to our attention in this letter, and that's the conflict, the struggle, if you will, between a worldly, materialistic outlook on life and a spiritual outlook on life. This is a very real battle, and Christians know it well, because it's a battle in which they're engaged early on in life, and it can remain a struggle even in later years. The world about us has been led by the great deceiver to focus upon materialistic and worldly things as if they are the great priorities. They're under his deception, the sway of his influence. And there is the danger that Christians will be led astray from the faith, as Paul says in chapter 6 and verse 10. He's talking about being led away into a worldly outlook on life and away from the spiritual emphasis. In verse 6 in the 6th chapter, he said, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." Here's a profit, a gain that every Christian ought to see. That's God's plan for us, that we would have this spiritual emphasis in our lives, a godliness with contentment, a thankful heart for what we have received from God. And so he said to Timothy that Timothy must have such a heart as a man of God, chapter 6, verse 11. To flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on the life eternal. And just a few verses later, he said that he furthermore had the responsibility to teach this to others, and especially to some who may be in more serious jeopardy in regard to this conflict. And that would be some members of the church who may have an abundance of material things. And they are to be encouraged to see these things as God's gifts to them, that God has blessed them, and to see this as an opportunity to do good. that they may lay hold on the life which is life indeed. Chapter 6 and verse 19. So this is one of the elements that Paul deals with that's part of God's plan for the Christian life, to overcome this allure of worldliness, this attraction to the power of material possessions and money, and the connections that often go with this, and the opportunities and doorways through which one could walk, and then find that perhaps one has walked too far, gone through some doors he should never have entered, and find himself entangled and ensnared in that which can only destroy his character as a Christian. Paul does not intend for us to see this as a danger only for those who have abundance. He began by speaking to all Christians about these matters. Godliness with contentment is great gain. These are some things we should care about and will care about if we have true Christian character. I've said from the beginning of this series that Paul is making very strongly this point that true Christian character can only be produced by the influence of the gospel teaching in the life of a Christian. Christian character cannot be reduced to being a person who is viewed as nice and polite and has good etiquette and courtesy and respectful toward people, or even extending that, expanding upon it, saying that Christian character is a matter of having compassion and being generous toward people. It includes all those things. All those things are important, but it includes much more. It includes all the convictions that shape a soul and give it strength of character in Christ to resist what is evil and false, to have the right priorities and aims in life, and to support the things that God would have one to support. And thus, we're back to where we began then. If we have that love out of a pure heart and good conscience and faith and fame, we will love God and love Christ. We will love the gospel. We will love the truth. We will love the work of salvation that is God's work in this world. We will love the church. We will love all people as God loves all people. And in that way, in Christ, we will truly be in character in the likeness of him who made us and redeemed us. Let us stand and sing.
God sent his only Son, to feel love.